live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks. Turks, JQ Granik is fairing with you guys. We've got a series of fun announcements. We have a fascinating week ahead. So first of all, the DNC starts tonight. Yes, it actually exists. Yes, they will do speeches. No, it will not be in person. Yes, we will be covering it. Tonight, it's me and John doing it. Tomorrow, it'll be me and Ben Dixon, then Michael Schur, then Anna Kasparian. And guys, it starts at 9 o'clock Eastern. It's got about 2 hours of speeches. And the reason I say fun in this context is because play-by-play is back. So we're going to get to do live play-by-play coverage of each of the speeches. I just looked at the schedule. If I didn't count wrong, the first four speeches in the Democratic National Convention are by Republicans. Now, that says a lot about what's happening today, both in the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. In fact, we have two odious characters from both parties agreeing with each other and being wrong later in the program. So you have that to look forward to. But we'll break down those speeches for you guys, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then also tonight, the candidate, presidential candidate you've all been waiting for to hear from, obviously, Amy Klobuchar. But at the end, Bernie Sanders. I mean, in case you're interested in that, that's tonight. So John and I are going to do play-by-play. I think you'll love it. Stay right here, tyt.com/live, okay? And remember, if you're a member, you get all of our programming anytime you want it, even if you miss any of it, okay? So either tyt.com/join, or if you're watching on YouTube, hit that join button below. All right, another awesome programming note. Cori Bush is on tomorrow. I already did the interview, and you are going to love the part where she talks about why she'll stay true when she goes to Congress. You will believe her and you will love her for it. So it's tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. Please don't forget, she has one of the greatest lines ever that I will quote from here on out after the interview. So that's tomorrow at 5:30. All right, the last fun one is too fun to contain in this one segment. So I'll tell you at the top of the next segment. Whoa, okay. So good things are coming. Anna, you're up.
All right. Well, as we know, let's start with the cold open, actually.
I guess that he thinks that a suppressed vote, a lower voter turnout, will work for him and that it will help him win the election. So this is a deliberate effort to defund and destroy the U.S. Postal Service so that people cannot engage in mail-in ballots. That's not Bernie Sanders talking. That's what Donald Trump is telling the American people. And it is an outrage, Chuck.
Well, that was Bernie Sanders calling out the Trump administration and the Trump campaign's efforts to essentially suppress the vote by dismantling the post office. Luckily, Democrats finally woke up and realized maybe now is not a great time to vacation, you know, go on recess. So now they are launching an emergency effort to prevent Trump from rigging the election through dismantling the post office. So Pelosi, for instance, is calling for the House to return to Capitol Hill. That's likely to happen this coming weekend. The Senate, some members of the Senate are also considering reconvening to figure out what to do about the fact that Trump is trying to essentially rig this election. So Democrats in the House Oversight Committee have also demanded that the new Postmaster General, Louis DeJoy, testify on August 24th to answer charges that his controversial new policy changes are intended to deliberately slow voting by mail. As we've mentioned before, DeJoy is a Trump loyalist and has donated millions of dollars to Donald Trump. In a letter to DeJoy, Oversight Committee Chair Representative Carolyn Maloney said, quote, Over the past several weeks, there have been startling new revelations about the scope and gravity of operational changes you are implementing at hundreds of postal facilities without consulting adequately with Congress, the Postal Regulatory Commission, or the Board of Governors. Your testimony is particularly urgent given the troubling influx of reports of widespread delays at postal facilities across the country, as well as President Trump's explicit admission last week that he has been blocking critical coronavirus funding for the Postal Service in order to impair mail-in voting efforts for the upcoming elections in November. I also want to note that he has agreed to testify before the House Oversight Committee. So there's some, you know, agreement there, luckily. But there are some members of Congress, particularly Representatives Ted Lieu and Hakeem Jeffries, who are saying that the FBI needs to investigate what's happening with the Postal Service. In their letter, they write, multiple media investigations show that Postmaster DeJoy and the Board of Governors have retarded the passage of mail. If their intent in doing so was to affect mail-in balloting or was motivated by personal financial reasons, then they likely committed crimes. And Jake, just to remind the audience, some of the things that have already been done, as was mentioned earlier, slowed delivery times. They have removed high-speed mail sorters in some facilities. Those sorters are obviously going to be needed in order to process an influx of mail-in ballots. And they've also issued a warning that mail-in ballots will no longer be treated as priority mail, which is insane.
And of course, they also started to take away the actual boxes in your neighborhood, the post office boxes. They now say, because of the intense pressure that are being put on, okay, fine, we won't take away any more of those drop boxes until after the election. And we will not disassemble any more of the sorting machines until after the election. And that's what Chief of Staff Mark Meadows said. But that's only because they put tremendous pressure on. Now, I want to give credit to the people who did that. Number one is, as you saw in the beginning here, Bernie Sanders. He immediately went on the warpath. And that's partly because he's been trying to protect the post office for decades now. And so he has seen them attack it over and over again. So to him, this was not a surprise or something new. It was just the worst form of that assault, because it's also an assault on our democracy, as he clarified. So I love that he was on all the Sunday talk shows fighting for the post office and for our democracy. Secondly, Al Gore came out today as a helpful reminder of what happens when people steal elections, and was super forceful in saying, under no circumstances should the post office be trifled with in the middle of an election. So I love to see that. But I want to give credit to Ted Lieu and Hakeem Jeffries probably the most. And if you follow the Young Turks really, really closely, you'll know that I'm not a giant fan of Hakeem Jeffries. Out of the four of those guys, love three of them. Representative Jeffries, has his issues. Now, but all we do on this show is we're honest with you guys and we're fair, okay? So credit where credit is due. I love that Representative Jeffries is working with Ted Lieu on this one. And they're exactly right. There are two provisions that they talk about here. One is 18 U.S.C. 1701 that makes it a crime to, quote, knowingly and willfully obstruct mail delivery. So if you're slowing down the mail on purpose, because remember, look, just the fact that they're slowing it down right in front of our own eyes that we can clearly see and there's overwhelming evidence for might not be enough to convict, believe it or not, because you got to go beyond a reasonable doubt. But if they wrote anything down, or if any witness says, yeah, we slowed down the mail on purpose, gone. That's a federal crime and they should go to prison. Number two is 18 U.S.C. 595, which criminalizes using the power of any federal agency to influence an election. If they have a witness or any memo or email written to that effect, gone, prison sentence. DeJoy should be locked away. Now, only if he did it. We're not like the Trump people, just lock up our political opponents. No, if he's breaking the law in these super important ways, he should understand that there's going to be severe consequences. Now, look, I love that they're fighting this way before the election so that we can make sure that everybody's mail-in ballots are protected, including the Republican ones. We want a fair election, an election that actually tells us who won, right? But do I have any faith that Democrats will hold Republicans accountable even if they cheated after an election? No, I have no faith at all. None. But for now, good, great. And I'm super happy to give them credit.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm definitely happy that they're going to go back to Capitol Hill. I mean, the fact that they literally took recess was ridiculous to me. But, you know, some of the messaging coming from the Trump administration is changing. I don't want anyone to think under any circumstance that I trust Mark Meadows, for instance. But here's Chief of Staff Mark Meadows speaking over the weekend about changing course, the post office changing course when it came to some of the decisions that they've recently made. Let's take a look.
Concerns about whether or not it's going to work, then it would seem that more funding would help as opposed to taking sorting machines off a line so that it will be more difficult to do mail-in.
Well, there's no sorting machines that are going offline between now and the election. That's something that my Democrat friends are trying to do to stoke fear out there. That's not happening.
Are you saying that sorting machines have not been taken offline and removed? Are you asserting that did not happen?
I'm saying that sorting machines between now and the election will not be taken offline. Listen, I had postal under my committee.
The ones that have been taken offline in the last couple of months.
So when you're looking at this, these postal machines and the drawdown, that was a 2006 bill that has been implemented that I don't necessarily agree with, but that's not this Postmaster General that did that. That was the previous Postmaster General under Obama.
That's just a lie. By the way, Obama wasn't president in 2006. What are you talking about? So he cites the year 2000. Like, this was a plan that they had in place since 2006 when Obama was president. What? No, they started decommissioning these mail sorting machines recently, and at the same time, let every single state know that the post office wouldn't have the capacity to process all of these ballots. And by the way, I mean, get a load of Mark Meadows trying to cover up for the fact that there is absolutely no evidence that mail-in voting or absentee voting has led to a prevalence of voter fraud. Take a look at his messaging here.
Do you realize how inaccurate the voter rolls are with just people just moving around, not let alone the people that die off, but sending ballots out just based on a voter roll registration? Anytime you move, you'll change your driver's license, but you don't call up and say, hey, by the way,
I'm re-registered. Voter fraud, though. But there's no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
There's no evidence that there's not either. That's the definition of fraud, Jake.
No,
that's also a lie. I mean, go ahead, Jen, take it away.
Okay, that's not the definition of fraud. The definition of fraud is when you commit fraud. I couldn't find any evidence of fraud, and that's the definition of fraud. That's the exact opposite of the definition. So, okay, let's use Mark Meadows' logic. I don't agree with this, but this is Mark Meadows' logic. Yeah, there's no evidence that Mark Meadows is a serial killer, but there's also no evidence that he isn't. I don't know. I mean, I think we should investigate whether Mark Meadows is a serial killer. We got Ted Cruz as Zodiac killer. I don't know. Maybe, you know, previously Meadows was a killer clown, a la John Wayne Gacy. I don't know. There isn't any evidence of it, but there's also no evidence that he didn't do it, that he didn't massacre many people. Come on. Under any other context, it would be insane to say things like this. And it's insane in this context. Now, again, we're a fair show, so let me be bipartisan in my critique. You know, just a couple months ago, and as usual, David Soro wrote about this, the Senate unanimously, that means all the Democrats as well, approved Mike Duncan to be the head of the Board of Governors of USPS, of the Postal Service. And Mike Duncan is among the people who now gets to decide whether DeJoy stays or not as the Postmaster General. Mike Duncan is the head of the Senate Leadership PAC, the Senate Leadership Fund that raises $100 million for Republican senators. Democrats, I mean, there's no end to how stupid they are. Why would you put that guy as the chair of the Board of the Governors of the Post Office when you know the Republicans are trying to destroy the Post Office and that guy raises $100 million for Senate Republicans? How stupid or complicit are you? So now finally, when it reaches their own power, wait, they might rig the election using the post office, so I don't have power anymore. Wait, now all of a sudden Democrats are concerned. Again, minus the exceptions of Bernie Sanders, who's been concerned and been on the warpath for decades on this. And by the way, let me just, if you're wondering why did the Democrats let Mike Duncan be head of Board of Governors? Why is DeJoy, who's clearly has a giant conflict of interest in the head of the post office, why did the Democrats allow any of this? And if you haven't heard our previous videos about it, as quickly as I can, DeJoy gave $2 million to Trump and the Republican Party. That's just a bribe. Why did he bribe them? Because he wanted to be the head of the post office. Why? Because he has $30 to $75 million invested in competitors and contractors of the post office. The criminality is through the roof. And the reason that, and so he might have just been trying to destroy the post office for his own financial gain. And then he's like, oh no, it's in the middle of an election. Oh, I got caught for no reason because of Trump's clownishness. I'm just trying to make tens of millions of dollars through obvious bribery and corruption. And that's your answer for why the Democrats never held him accountable before, because they participate in that bribery and corruption. So that's why they never called it out when DeJoy did it or Mike Duncan did it. They happily gave him those positions, which they now regret.
And I wanted to also just respond to the ridiculous statement Meadows made about voter fraud, with giving you some actual evidence of how rare voter fraud really is. So Cenk, this is a tweet by Public Citizen, and it says, the mail-in voter fraud rate is 0.00006% over the last 20 years. So there has been research into this, and voter fraud is not a problem in this country. What Donald Trump is clearly trying to do, and it's so transparent, is disenfranchise voters and steal this election.
So guys, I wanna give you guys, you know, sometimes Trump says, well, what's the harm? Let's stop mail-in voting just in case 0.06 do it, right? Well, the harm is you block a lot of people from being able to, in fact, millions of people from being able to vote and participate in our democracy to chase after a non-existent problem. So I could put it in terms that Republicans will understand. If 0.00006% of white males do mass shootings in this country, that's actually, the result of that is horrific, right? But if we said, all right, so since that happens at that rate, which it probably does at around that rate, let's make sure no white males can ever leave their house again. You say, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense at all. 99.99994% of white males do not do mass shootings, and it makes no sense to not let them out of their house. So just giving you an example of why their thing of like, hey, it happened once in our lifetime, is not a good reason to deny millions of people the right to vote, especially during coronavirus, where the voting bloc that is most heavily represented is senior citizens, and they're also the most vulnerable.
So let's do one more story on mail-in ballots before we go to break, because something interesting happened in North Carolina that you guys should know about. So, while Donald Trump claims that mailing in a ballot is dangerous and that it leads to voter fraud, in reality, he is sending, well, the Republican Party in the state of North Carolina is sending absentee ballot request forms so Republicans in North Carolina can vote by mail if they choose to. This is what it looks like. It literally has a tweet from Donald Trump's Twitter account on the front. The tweet says absentee ballots are fine because you have to go through a precise process to get your voting privilege. And let me be clear, as we've stated before and provided evidence, there is virtually no difference between mail-in voting and absentee voting. In some cases, in some states, they might ask you for a reason for why you want to vote by mail if you do absentee voting. But the process is virtually the same. Trump is trying to draw a distinction that doesn't exist. Now, the mailer was sent out by the North Carolina Republican Party to registered Republicans and individuals who the party deems to lean Republican. And that was told to CNN by Tim Wigington. That is the press secretary for Tim Wigington. And that's the head of the North Carolina Republican Party. Now, the state party has sent several statewide mailers to make it easier for interested voters to participate. The irony is very thick and definitely not lost on me. Trump has been saying mail-in ballots will bring fraud to the election, but absentee ballots are legit. Which is it? It can't be both ways. I laugh because if the campaign actually took information from other times they have reached out to me, they'd know I won't vote for Trump despite being a registered Republican. That's a statement given to CNN by Chandler Carranza, who posted about this on social media. He was mortified by the ballot, especially because it included some pro-Trump messaging. Now, if you open it, you will see the application to get a mail-in ballot. And then there's also a page dedicated to Trump where it says, are you going to let the Democrats silence you? It's just incredible. The National Press Secretary, Deputy National Press Secretary for Trump, said the following. The Trump campaign said the mailer shows how it is working to ensure voters in every state know how their state sorting system works so that every eligible voter can cast their ballot and have their vote counted. So I want to be clear, these are real. This isn't like some campaign ad. This isn't just like spam mail or whatever. This is real. If the voters fill it out, they will get their absentee ballot, which, by the way, that's totally fine. But legal experts are questioning whether it is legal for the state's Republican Party to send this absentee ballot request form with all this pro-Trump propaganda included.
Okay, so I want to be clear about a couple of things here. Sending absentee ballot request forms to people, generally speaking, is not illegal. So it would be a rare legal action by the Republican Party. Now, having said that, number one, be super careful because they're not allowed to fill out any portion of the form. That would be illegal. You have to make sure that it's the same form as the actual ballot request form in your state. And you have to make sure that it's going to the right address. So for now, when you have Republicans sending pro-Trump ones, that's not as concerning, in my opinion. That we'll get to the hypocrisy in a second. But what if they start sending ones that pretend to be Democratic ones, but are not real ballot request forms? So they've done this in the past for decades. So the most common way that Republicans will do this is they'll send out flyers saying, hey, the election got moved to Wednesday. And they'll send it only to Democrats. So they've done this over and over again. So they try to cheat in almost every election in almost every conceivable way. And then they'll turn around and go, can you believe the fraud in elections? Okay. But in this case, so far, sending it this way doesn't appear to be illegal to the best of our knowledge. Now, let's talk about the hypocrisy. So Trump says, oh, mail-in voting is so terrible, I can't believe it. And they're like, hey, everybody, make sure you remember to do mail-in voting with Trump's face on it. They just have no conscience. They don't care. One thing doesn't have to match the other. It doesn't matter at all. They're just trying to get their side to do mail-in voting and trying to block Democrats from doing mail-in voting in every imaginable way. Okay. And Trump also trying to make a distinction between absentee voting and mail-in voting. First of all, this is mail-in voting. Second of all, there is no distinction. Okay, Trump does mail-in voting. And now he's got his big fat face on all these things saying, make sure you do mail-in voting. But of course, MAGA will not be moved by any of that. I think they rather enjoy not making sense.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they know what they're doing. I know you might disagree with that statement. But this is meant to disenfranchise specific types of voters. That's why Trump is trying to draw this fake distinction, a distinction that doesn't exist between absentee voting and mail-in voting. And there's a reason why these ballot request forms are being sent to very specific people. Now, luckily, there are nonpartisan organizations within the state of North Carolina that are also sending out ballot request forms. And they're not doing it in a partisan way, which is, in my opinion, the right way to do it. But I mean, I just think that the Democratic Party and the various state Democratic parties need to be very aggressive in pushing out the right messaging so people feel comfortable voting by mail and voting early, considering what's happening with the post office right now.
And you guys, yeah, since they're trying to slow down the mail, whatever you do, make sure that you get a ballot in the mail. I wouldn't risk going. So one of our members, Aqualad, is asking, do you guys plan on voting by mail or in person? Normally, I love voting in person. I think it's just a fun tradition. But I'm definitely going to do mail-in voting this time. One, because of coronavirus. But two, because my voting area is in a nursing home. And no, I mean, really?
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. That's insane, right? So make sure you get your request your ballots if you live in a state where you have to request the ballot, and then send it in as soon as you can to make sure they have plenty of time to process it. And don't listen to any of the lies of the Republicans. Make sure you're following the exact format in your state. By the way, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, there's no reason to believe that mail-in voting even favors Democrats. That's not why Trump is even saying it. He's saying it for two reasons. One, to have an excuse if he loses. Oh, I would have won, but I told you there was going to be historic fraud. How could you know there's going to be historic fraud before it happens? It's such an absurd thing. And then, and by the way, credit to Jake Tapper, who over the weekend did point out to his, to Trump's chief of staff, well, if you were really concerned about voter fraud, wouldn't you give the post office more money rather than less money to combat it ahead of time? Of course, they're not concerned about that. They know it's not true. And of course, the more nefarious reason we're all worried about is if Trump loses and he says, no, mail-in ballots are filled with fraud and they don't count, I'm going to stay in office. So it's not because he thinks it's necessarily a political advantage for him to actually win the election. It's just it allows for a couple of different tricks to try to cheat, to steal the election.
All right, when we come back from the break, we'll talk about Trump hinting that he might pardon Edward Snowden and how both terrible Republicans and terrible Democrats are outraged by it. We'll be right back.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Unfucking the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of Unfucking the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
you must unlearn what you have learned.
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Turks, Cenk Ugranek is sparing with you guys. Before I read the comments, I got a fun announcement for you guys. All right, we are now revealing Too Strong Coffee. Whoa, what is this? So this is a progressive coffee for progressive coffee drinkers and helps support progressive causes. So we're unveiling it for the first time here. There's two different, roasts. One is the French roast, Rebel Roast. Love it. Hello, Rebel Roast. Okay. Second is a breakfast blend, the Uprising. Come on, how's that not fun? Okay. I'm gonna keep it real with you guys. I helped pick the coffee, which does, of course, cause some concern. But so far, 9 out of 10 people that have tried it, that is not a real number, but it feels that way, have told us it's awesome. One of them said, it's like butter. TooStrongCoffee.com/TYT. Portion of the proceeds go to great causes like Justice Democrats, Wolfpack, Young Turks, Now Rebellion Pack as well. And if you buy three bags, you get a coffee mug included. Too strong coffee. I've been drinking all coffee all day, so I'm wired. Okay, it went from uprising to a rebel roast all of a sudden. All right, so everybody check it out at toostrongcoffee.com/TYT. Toostrongcoffee.com/TYT. Oh, by the way, it's organic, it's fair trade, and it's handcrafted, whatever that means. They're working on the beans. They're working on the beans, okay? So it is as progressive as you can possibly imagine. And this time, coffee is for causers. I get it. If you believe in progressive causes, causers.
I got it. Yeah, that's good.
All right. Let me read some viewer comments. I love you guys. Let me read these. So TYT.com/join, obviously, to get your comments read. First, Stephen Wolf says, great to spend part of my 41st birthday with all of you, especially during my favorite 90 minutes of the day. You're awesome. Happy birthday, Stephen Wolf. Effectos makes a great point. When working class people are getting evicted and unemployed at record numbers, Pelosi wants to go home to eat ice cream. As soon as she realizes that she could lose power if the post office is decimated, she rushes back to Capitol Hill. Gee, nice to know where your voters rank, Pelosi. Thanks. Unfortunately, that's totally true. Debbie says they are reporting that mailboxes have been removed in New Jersey today. No surprise. Okay, so Debbie will check in on that. Thanks for letting us know about that in your neck of the woods. Hiroshi Loves You writes in on YouTube Super Chat, hey, people in the United States, please guard your post boxes and ballot drop boxes 24/7 with people plus cameras, or they'll be filled with, well, he says acid. I don't know about that. I don't know about that at all, and I haven't heard any of that. But he says, you have no idea what's coming. This ain't a real election, but the supremacist final power grab. We are worried about the power grab. We are worried about them removing the post office, the box drop boxes. So we should guard them no matter what. Robert V writes in, I thought it was Robert the Fifth. Anyway, hi, Cenk and Anna. Cenk was wrong about vaccines. Many scientists think the vaccine could be only 70% effective, like the flu. This will reverse the pandemic if enough people are vaccinated, but won't provide an impenetrable shield. Robert, I hear you on that, brother. If I made it sound like it, you know, it'll solve all of our problems, of course, that's not exactly right. You're closer to right. And let's hope we get the vaccine, and then I'll report on the exact percentages according to the scientists and the doctors of how effective it'll be. Okay. And then last one here, no more pot for you. Right, in my YouTube super chat. DeJoy needs to go. I'm so damn tired of all the corruption. I say I would vote for a potato, in brackets Biden, but I really miss Bernie. Thank you for your commentary. Well, we appreciate it, guys, and we do this show with you. So much love. And by the way, I'm looking forward to your reviews of the coffee. I'm curious if I'm right. I love this thing. So I love that it's helping progressive causes too. Okay, so let write in and tell us about that. Toostrongcoffee.com/TYT. All right, Anna, what's next?
All right. There aren't many things that Democrats and Republicans agree on, but unfortunately over the weekend, we were reminded that they do both seem to agree on crushing whistleblowers like Edward Snowden. We learned about that after Donald Trump made a wishy-washy statement about possibly pardoning Edward Snowden, who's currently living in Russia because Russia gave him asylum, but he's facing some serious charges and would probably be in prison right now if he were to return back to the United States. So what did Trump say over the weekend? Take a listen.
Do you want to give Edward Snowden a pardon and bring him back? You once suggested.
Well, I'm going to look at it. I mean, I'm not that aware of the Snowden situation, but I'm going to start looking at it. There are many, many people. It seems to be a split decision. There are many people think that he should be somehow treated differently, and other people think he did very bad things. And I'm going to take a very good look at it. Okay? I mean, I've seen people that are very conservative and very liberal, and they agree on the same issue. They agree both ways. I'm going to take a look at that very strongly, Edward Snowden.
Well, earlier he had actually told the New York Post something very similar, which is why the reporter had asked that question during the press conference. So Donald Trump told the New York Post, there are a lot of people that think that he is being treated unfairly. I mean that, I hear that. But of course, Donald Trump is not someone to be trusted. Let's keep it 100. Trump has been vicious in his previous commentary about Edward Snowden. We'll go to that in just a second. But let me also just note that there might be political motivations for why Trump is now bringing up potentially pardoning Edward Snowden. So he also told the New York Post this, when you look at former FBI Director James Comey and former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe and former CIA Director John Brennan, and excuse me, the man that sat at this desk, President Obama, got caught spying on my campaign with former Vice President Joe Biden, Biden and Obama, and they got caught spying on the campaign. They did not get caught spying on the campaign. That was a conspiracy theory floated by Donald Trump as he was being investigated for Russian meddling. And let me also just note that if you look at some of the things that Trump had tweeted about Edward Snowden in the past, he was vicious. So here's one tweet from 2013 where he wrote, "Obamacare is a disaster and Snowden is a spy who should be executed. But if it and he could reveal Obama's records, I might become a major fan." And I also want to note that that isn't the only time he said some pretty negative things about Edward Snowden. Here's a tweet indicating that before toying with pardoning Snowden, as he did again today, Trump tweeted 35 times saying how he was a traitor who should be executed. Another quote, "Isn't it sad the way Putin is toying with Obama regarding Snowden? We look weak and pathetic. Could not happen with a strong leader." So Trump isn't being real. Like, he doesn't have any love for Snowden. But what this all revealed, and I think where the real story is here, is that on one hand, you have the Liz Cheneys of the world feeling outraged at the thought of a whistleblower getting pardoned. And I absolutely think Edward Snowden absolutely should be pardoned. And then on top of that, you have someone on the quote unquote left, Susan Rice, who was the former national security advisor for the Obama administration, saying something very similar. So let's go to Susan Rice's tweet where she says, "I just can't. Congratulations, GOP. This is who you are now." No, this is what liberals are now, right? I mean, Edward Snowden let us know that every single American was being spied on by the NSA indiscriminately. And he is being persecuted for that. What he did was heroic. And both Susan Rice and Liz Cheney agree that he's some sort of monster that deserves to be imprisoned. It's just absolutely disgusting.
Okay, so first of all, is Donald Trump wildly hypocritical on this? Yes. Do I care? No. Let him go. We got a free Edward Snowden. He's an American patriot and a hero. I don't even care if it's Putin himself that told Trump, "I'm tired of hosting this guy. Why don't you take him off my hands?" As long as it leads to a pardon of his so-called crimes in this particular regard regarding the leaks, I'm thrilled with it. So I don't really care why Trump is changing his mind. Oh, is it to talk about spying on his campaign? Hey, I'm not that sophisticated, but I'm sophisticated enough that I can separate out those two issues and say, hey, you know what? Edward Snowden deserves a pardon, but that doesn't mean that Obama and Biden were spying in on your campaign. Those two issues are not at all connected. And I'll fight you all the way to the end on your campaign being spied on. That's BS, especially by Obama and Biden. They'd rather hug a Republican than investigate one. Are you insane? Have you ever met them? Have you ever heard them? Constant talk of how much they love Republicans. Anyway, but unfortunately, Anna's 100% right on the most important part of this, which is establishment Republicans and establishment Democrats now are nearly indistinguishable. So how sad that Susan Rice, who, by the way, is very, very likely to have a very senior position in the Biden administration, probably Secretary of State, but at a minimum National Security Advisor, agrees with Liz Cheney, Dick Cheney, George Bush. Yeah, let's illegally spy on Americans. And let's make sure we punish anyone who tells the American people about our illegal activities. So it's just so embarrassing what's happened to the Democratic Party.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I just think that it's dangerous to trust Trump, especially on these types of issues. Because remember, Trump said some pretty favorable things about Julian Assange right before his Justice Department imprisoned him. So Trump has no love for whistleblowers. He might use and abuse people for his own political purposes, but he shouldn't be trusted when it comes to people like Edward Snowden, who absolutely should be pardoned, right? I just, you know, wouldn't put a lot of trust or weight behind anything Trump has to say about Snowden at any given moment. Because yeah, if he really had his way, he would have executed Snowden. I mean, he called for Snowden to be executed dozens of times.
Yeah, well, to give Trump credit, it's a rare white person he says should be executed. Almost always he says it's black people who should be executed. But look, do I think he's definitely going to do it? Of course not. I have no idea. Nobody has any idea. Trump doesn't have any idea. When he says, well, there's a lot of people on both sides, that means he talked to four dudes at Mar-a-Lago, and two of them said he should pardon Snowden, and two of them said they did. Who are they? Rando, relatively rich people. So that's the only people he talks to. So can he change his mind from execution to freeing him back to execution? Of course, because he has no mind to change. There's just two cells in there and they don't often meet. So I hope that on a good day, some rando rich person whispers in his ear, let Snowden go, and he lets him go. And then we're done with it. And Susan Rice and Joe Biden and Dick Cheney and Liz Cheney can all cry about it for the next 20 years. Oh no, we can't do things that are illegal. Now good patriots are gonna expose us. Good, I'm glad they're gonna expose you. And if you try to do it in the Biden administration, I hope there's another Edward Snowden that is courageous enough to expose you again.
Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about how Trump actually wants to cut military spending, but specifically military spending that would help soldiers with their healthcare expenses. We'll be right back.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
All right, back on Young Turks. Don't forget, you can still win an e-scooter. They're awesome and great to the environment. Save money on parking and gas. So you go to tyt.com/greensummer. If you sign up for an aspiration account or refer a friend for an aspiration account, you can get entered to win the e-scooter. It's awesome. So make sure you do it before we run out of time on that. tyt.com/greensummer. Don't forget, tonight we're covering the DNC. John Iarola and myself will be doing live play-by-play. Bernie Sanders tonight, Michelle Obama's tonight. Obviously, everybody's been looking forward to Amy Klobuchar tonight. But the DNC, yes, you did not hear wrong, is going to start with 4 Republicans speaking first. That is a sign of our times. So we'll do play-by-play coverage on that. Now let me go to the viewers. Meg says, I don't care how we get there. Snowden deserves a pardon. Agreed. Speaking of agreeing, Naughtiest Maximus says, I just tuned in as Jenk was talking about too strong TYT coffee. Holy smokes, coffee just got 100% better and 100 times stronger. Can't wait to try it. I love you for it, brother. That's awesome. If you get 3 bags, you get this mug, too. Too strong coffee mug. Ricky Pizicki writes, and speaking of coffee, will old school TYT mug black with white letters make a comeback on Shop TYT? I'll ask the thugs at Shop TYT if they'll do that. But like I said, this mug you get with 3 bags of coffee. If you didn't hear earlier, it's toostrongcoffee.com/TYT, toostrongcoffee.com/TYT. All right, and last one is Vicky says, didn't know what a dad joke was until I started watching Cenk. No problem. You're welcome. Yeah,
stick around. Stick around. You'll be an expert on dad jokes.
I'm here to deliver. Okay.
I want to answer a question by one of our viewers because I mentioned that the Trump administration was pretty vicious to Julian Assange, which is why I don't trust him when it comes to pardoning whistleblowers. So he is imprisoned in the UK right now, but that doesn't mean that the United States hasn't been pursuing Julian Assange. That includes the Trump administration and the DOJ under the Trump administration, which released a press release on May 23rd, 2019, indicating that a federal grand jury returned an 18-count superseding indictment charging Julian Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks, with offenses that relate to Assange's alleged role in one of the largest compromises of classified information. So while Trump might say polite things, you know, publicly, in reality, his administration has gone after Assange very aggressively. And we talked about that when that story originally broke.
Absolutely. Last couple here from YouTube Super Chat, Christopher Mailer Pop says, just bought the coffee, thank you. Also, I'm in North Carolina and I received a neutral mail-in ballot application from the county without asking. Not all bad. Okay, great. I love to see you guys reporting that. We do this show together. Speaking of which, on Twitch, Dolores and Darkness resub for our third month. Bumblebee Tuna gifted a sub to the channel, which is great. I love when you guys do that for each other. And Burning Fortress subbed with Prime, and Iron Man 42 donated 1,320 bits. Love you guys. Keep it going. All right, Anna, what's next?
All right. The Trump administration is eyeing billions of dollars in cuts to the bloated military budget. The only problem is the cuts would do away with funding for healthcare for troops and veterans. So this is pretty pathetic and devastating, especially when you consider that Congress just approved an increase in the military budget. So to see the Trump administration now turn around and threaten to cut funding for healthcare for the troops and for vets gives you a sense of where their priorities really are. Pentagon officials working on Defense Secretary Mark Esper cost-cutting review of the department have proposed slashing military healthcare by $2.2 billion. Roughly 9.5 million active duty personnel, military retirees, and their dependents rely on the military health system, which is the military's sprawling government-run healthcare framework that operates hundreds of facilities around the world. The military health system also provides care through TRICARE, which enables military personnel and their families to obtain civilian healthcare outside of military networks. Now, what they're trying to do here, and I think it's pretty clear, is cut funding so members of the military and veterans and their family members would have to rely on TRICARE, which is in a lot of cases going to out of network privatized healthcare. And that's what Trump's been wanting to do since the beginning. He's been wanting to privatize this system, and this might be one of the strategies that he's implementing. Esper rolled out the results of the first iteration of the defense-wide review in February, revealing $5.7 billion in cost savings that he said would be put toward preparing the Pentagon to better compete with Russia and China, including research into hypersonic weapons, artificial intelligence, missile defense, and more. Now, again, let me just be clear. Congress just increased the military budget in the latest National Defense Authorization Act, okay? So I want to just fast forward real quick and give you those numbers. If you look at the numbers, give me one second. Okay, so the previous year, Congress approved $716 billion, which was the fifth year straight of military budget increases. But recently, they increased that number to $740.5 billion for the upcoming year. So every year the number goes up. Every year they spend more and more money on weapons and artificial intelligence. But now they're proposing to spend even less money on healthcare for our soldiers and veterans.
No, they're a joke. And so Mark Esper, some people say like, oh, you know, if Trump loses, he might not go along with a plot to do a coup against the American people and the Constitution. He might be on the side of removing Trump. So he's such a good guy. Oh, Jesus Christ, man. First of all, that's the lowest bar literally in American history. And you're not even sure he's gonna clear it. And now look at what he does at his day job. So they have a budget, as Anna explained to you, is $740 billion. Now, they increased it $24 billion in just the last year. By the way, Democrats went along with that. Mm-hmm. So they're like, oh, no, no, we're going to be fiscally responsible, and we're going to cut $5.7 billion in waste. First of all, 5.7 out of 740 is nothing. It's not even a quarter of the increase that you just got. But then they have the audacity to say of that 5.7, more than a third, $2.2 billion, is going to come from healthcare to the troops. So no. Defense contractors that bribe politicians, and that is what it is. There's no Lockheed Martin giving money to a politician for their health or for charity. They give it to purchase them. They bribe politicians. So the politicians, Republicans and Democrats, return the favor and give them $740 billion. So they're like, who are we going to take it out of? The troops. Who cares about the troops? Let's just take it out of their hide. Make sure if they come back with missing limbs, so what? Don't give them health care. Nobody cares about the troops. That's the kind of sick state that our democracy is in. If I see one more bumper sticker that says support the troops on a car, okay, I just want to ask them, do you actually support the troops? Or are you part of the vicious Republican Party that steals health care away from our veterans when they come home and gives all the money to the defense contractors that bribed you?
Right, exactly. And so I want to go to this next video, because this is the kind of messaging that we heard from Trump over and over again, both when he was campaigning and after he won the election. But I want to decode it when we come back.
My administration will spare no effort or resource to support the men and the women who defend our nation. I'll never forgive him for what he did to our United States military by not funding it properly. So I'm here for our military. I'm here to support our great, great and very powerful military. Like our military was depleted. Our military was depleted. It was very depleted, as you know. It was depleted. You know that. When I came in, our military was depleted. It was depleted. It was depleted. And as you know, it's been depleted. Stockpile was very depleted, like everything else. Stockpile was very depleted, like everything else. We are completely rebuilding our military. And our military is more powerful right now than ever before. I've rebuilt the military. It is being rebuilt to a level that we have never seen before. Our military was in very bad shape. We've rebuilt the military. Now we have a brand new military. Oh, we have the most beautiful fighter jets in the world being delivered now every day. Every day. We've got new planes. We've got new rockets, new missiles. We've got new everything. The equipment was old. The planes were old. We have a lot of things that will soon be coming. Planes, missiles, rockets, lots of things. We've secured over $2.1 trillion in funding to completely rebuild American military. I'm in the process of spending tremendous amounts of money. We spent $1.5 trillion. $2.5 trillion in new investments. Our military is now stronger. Think of that, $2.1 trillion. Not billion, you know, it used to be million. And then about 10 years ago, you started hearing billion, and now you're starting to hear trillion, right? So it's, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's good when we're spending $2.1 trillion in funding on our military.
So, I mean, look, I don't really have to do much decoding. It's very clear that Trump's priorities are to increase the military budget, to spend more money on weapons. Doesn't care about the livelihoods of our soldiers or veterans, and does not care about their health either.
Yeah, the thing that galls me the most is after spending trillions of dollars on the defense department, they then turn around and say, we don't have money for the troops. It's not just their health care. You know that incoming troops get on average about $19,000 a year. $19,000 a year, and now they're gonna take away their health care. You want to talk about depleted? That's depleted. They don't care about our troops at all. Okay, guys, an amazing postgame, including four news stories you're going to love. Hit the join button below to get it, or tyt.com/join. We'll see you there just in a minute.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.